of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
We've been going through some really hard things, and I'm sure all of you guys can relate to the hard things that we've been going through all last year, you know, at least the early part of last year, through majority of the year. Even now, you know, last week, this past week has been a really rough week for a lot of people, not just us here in Memphis, but, you know, throughout the country. You know, Dion is with us today, and we know that Texas has really, you know, got hit hard with the things that they were experiencing there. And what we experienced here in Memphis as a result of the weather is nowhere near what they experienced. But we just been going through some really hard times. And when we go through hard times, one of the things that we have a tendency of doing is we just get up and we just do what we gotta do. You know, we work hard and we try to just, you know, fight through those situations, fight through those hard times and just do what we gotta do. And I just want us all to be reminded that, you know, as this song said, it says, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, Lord. When we go through hard times in our lives, God is reminding us and he's constantly reaching out to us to just speak to us and say something to us to get our attention. And he's saying, hey, look, you're going through these hard times, but you don't have to do all of this by your own might. You don't have to do all of this by your own power. You have a source of help. The Bible says, I look to the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. And when we're going through these hard times, we need to remind ourselves that we got someone that we can lean and depend on to help us go through these hard times. We don't have to do it all by ourselves. You know, like the song says, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, Lord. God wants us to depend on him and lean on him and his spirit to help get us through the hard times, to make it much bearable, make it much easier for us, but also to tap into resources that otherwise we wouldn't have accessed. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for all those who are joining us this morning, and we thank you for your word that is before us. Lord, I thank you for just getting through these hard times that we've been experiencing, and even this past week, Father. You know, we've had, I guess we could say we've had reason to complain about this and complain about that, but the reality is we don't have anything to complain about, Father. We had some hard times, we dealt with them, and it's through your spirit, Father, that we were able to get through them. But remind us even the more that when we go through hard times, that we can lean more and more on you to help us to get through. Father, we ask you to bless our time together today and speak to us and lead us and direct and guide us. In your son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So as we get into the word for today, I just want to remind everybody, as much as you can, try to mute your mic so that we don't get any outside audio to come through interfering. If you want to say amen at different times, just unmute your mic real quick and say amen and then just mute back. Otherwise, we just ask you just to wave your hand. And that shows me that you or I can see you responding and saying amen or whatever it is that you would like to respond to. But we just ask everybody to do that just to make sure we don't get any feedback in the audio here. But we are in a teaching series titled What's Next? And in this teaching series of What's Next, you know, last month we got some instructions that we believe from God as to what we need to do during this time. You know, we realized that these hard times that we've been going through in 2020 is not over yet, that we still got some struggles ahead of us. We still got a long road ahead of us. And so now is not the time for us to begin to rejoice in a sense, quote unquote. Now is not the time for us to, you know, begin to get laxed or anything. It's still time for us to keep our guards up. It's still time for us to be on the watch. It's still time for us to work and to work hard, because these hard times, these troubled times that we've been going through are not over yet. You know, this past week is a prime example of that. You know, I said last year, we don't know. And I said this year too, in last month's message series, is that we do not know what is still yet to come. And because we don't know what is still yet to come, we have to prepare ourselves. And last month I said, you know, as God told Joshua when he became the leader over the nation of Israel and getting them prepared to cross over the Jordan River, he told Joshua to tell the people to get their provisions ready. And that's one of the things that I totally believe that God has been instructing us to do, is to get our provisions ready. Why do we need to get our provisions ready? One, because God has a plan to move us from one place to the next place. And so we need to have our provisions in order in that movement. But also is because we do not yet know what lies ahead of us. We're still in this pandemic time. We're still in this political unrest time. We're still in this racial divide time. We have a lot of weather situations that are going on, natural situations that are going on in the world. There's still a whole lot of uncertainty that's going on in a lot of different areas. And because of that, as we have our provisions in order, as we have our provisions ready, then when we hit certain things along the way, our provisions is what's going to sustain us. Amen. And so I believe that that's something that God is instructing us to do. And so in that, the instructions that we got from God, you know, some specific steps I believe that God has given us. And I'm just giving us a quick reminder and review in here. And that is for our men to take a stronger leadership role in their families and in the church. We need to stay healthy, do what we got to do, especially during a pandemic time. We need to reduce our personal debt. We need to build our arsenal. That means build up a system to protect you and your families, whatever that may be. Amen. Not whatever that may be, but within reason. And to get involved with local politics, because it's the local politicians that are making decisions directly concerning our lives. Those are the five things that I believe that God has instructed us to do in getting our provisions ready. When we do these things, when we hit these hiccups in the road, when we hit these hard times along the way, our provisions is going to be the thing that's going to sustain us. Amen. And in doing so, we've been looking at this story about Joshua when he became the leader of the nation of Israel. And in that, God was getting Joshua ready to be the leader and also to get the people ready to cross over the Jordan River into the land that he had promised to Moses and the nation of Israel. And so that promised land, they had to get themselves ready for this. And so we're going to continue talking about Joshua. And we're in chapter 3, which we was on last week. And I'm going to continue going, continue moving through chapter 3. So today I'm going to start with verse number 4. And in verse number 4 of, I think I got something. I got my verses mixed up here. Anyway, it says, so Joshua called, it says, when all the people, this is chapter number 4, starting at chapter number 4, verse number 1, not chapter 3, but chapter 4, verse number 1 of the book of Joshua. It says, when all the people crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Remember, he chose those 12 men to carry the Ark of the Covenant, told them when they get to the edge of the river to put their feet in the water. Once they put their feet in the water, then the river will begin to stop. And when they did that, the river began to stop and it began to back up. And those 12 walked out there into the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And they stood there in the middle of the river. The water stopped and it stood up like a wall. And it said they stood there until all the people had passed by. When all the people had crossed over the Jordan River, they were able to walk on dry land and get across to the other side. And those 12 leaders that he chose, they stood there until every single person got across. And so here again, this is these 12 leaders that he's addressing right here. When all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan River. Carry them out and pile them up on the place where you will camp tonight, on the other side of the Jordan River when they had crossed over. So Joshua called the 12 men that he had chosen, one from each tribe of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan and in front of the Ark of the Lord, your God. Each of you must pick one stone and carry it on your shoulder. So this one stone, if they had to carry it on their shoulder, so it had to be a big, pretty nice sized stone. It says 12 stones in all, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones and build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. The stones will stand as a memorial among the people for Israel forever. I want to talk to you today about what do these stones mean. When Joshua gave the instruction to those 12 disciples, he told them to go out there in the middle of the Jordan River where you was holding the Ark of the Covenant. Each of you grab one stone each, which will make 12 stones. Bring them back over here. Once you bring them back, we're going to build a memorial. And he said to them that your children, they will ask in the future, they will ask, what do these stones mean? So I want to focus today on, what do these stones mean? Amen. This is what these stones mean. So Joshua told these men that one day in the future, their children will ask them the question, what do these stones mean? I really want to speak to our men today, as I've been speaking to our men for, you know, several weeks now. And I really want to continue to speak hard to our men. Women, do not feel left out. You are fully, you are a part of this as well, because you are connected to our men. Amen. But men, I really want you to hear me out on this. And that is, men, what are you building today that will one day in the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? What do these stones, what are you building today, men, that one day in the future, your children are going to ask you, what do these stones mean? The stones you build today will become your legacy in the future. The things that you are building today right now will become your legacy in the future. It is important that we build a legacy for our children, something that one day they will look and they will look at and they will say, my daddy did that. What is it that you're building right now today, man, that your kids one day in the future, they're going to look back and they're going to say, my daddy did that. That's what my daddy did. Joshua told those 12, when they took those stones and they built that memorial, he said, one day, those children in the future, they're going to look at these stones and they say, what does that mean? And you'll be able to tell them what that means. This is the day that God stopped the Jordan River and we all crossed this river. This was the day that God did something miraculous at a pivotal time in our lives. This was a time that will go down in history forever. And yet here we are today still talking about that very same story. We need to build something that our kids will look back and say, my daddy did that. Something one day that will that they can find encouragement and inspiration from. Something that one day they will be able to tell their own children about. So I asked the question today, what is a legacy? If we are to build a legacy, then what is a legacy? And this is what a legacy is. When a person dies, it is that the mark the individual left on the world that represents that individual's legacy. So when we're gone, men, when we're no longer here, what is that mark that we are going to leave behind that's going to represent our legacy? All right. It is about the richness of an individual's life, including what that person has accomplished and the impact that he or she had on people and places. What type of an impact are you men having on people and places? What type of an impact are you having on your children? What type of an impact are you having on your family, on your community, in your church? That impact that you are building, it becomes your legacy. Ultimately, the story of a person's life reflects that individual's legacy. What is the story of your life that one day your children will be able to tell and say, that was my daddy. That was my daddy. Joshua, he told each of those 12 leaders to grab a large stone so that they could build a memorial of what God did on that day for them and how they stood shoulder to shoulder with him. This is a reminder that would become a part of their legacy. Those 12 leaders that he chose, that memorial became a part of their legacy. It became a part of their story. And those 12, they could say, this is what we did on this day. We carried this ark on our shoulder. The Ark of the Covenant, remember, that represents the actual presence of God. We carry God on our shoulder. We stood shoulder to shoulder with God on this day, and he stopped at Jordan River so that we can all cross over to the other side. And what's on the other side of that river? The land that he had promised to us when we were still enslaved in the land of Egypt. That's what was on the other side of that river. We got to ask ourselves, what is it that we want to leave? What story do we want to leave for our children? Amen. What better legacy to leave for our children than one where we stood shoulder to shoulder with God during a pivotal time in our lives and in history? I'm going to say that one more time because I really want y'all to really grab this statement here. What is better? What better legacy to live than for our children where we stood shoulder to shoulder with God during a pivotal time in our lives and in history? I'm sure that all of you can agree that we are in a historical time right now. The things that we have experienced over the last year and are still experiencing will go down in history. This pandemic is going to be written in the history books. This election that we just had is going to be written in the history books. The siege of the nation's capital, which just happened just a few weeks ago, it's going to go down in the history books. Last year, the eruption of the Black Lives Matter movement, it's going to go down in history. You know, I can go on and on naming some things that's going to go down in history. What Texas experienced this past week and with the ice and the snow and pipes busting and electricity and all the stuff, things that Dion experienced there, he and his family experienced there. This is going to be written in the history books. So we're at a very pivotal time right now in our lives and in history. This stuff is going to be written down. And so what better legacy can we leave for our children than to stand shoulder to shoulder with God during a pivotal time in our lives and in history? What does this mean? When our kids, when they look back at this time, our kids that are alive right now, when they look back at this time, what will they say their fathers did? When they look back at this time and they begin to recall the pandemic time, when they look back and they begin to recall, you know, this weather that we experienced, some of these kids are going to remember this. They go, man, I remember them times when, man, we was in the house for 4 days and then we had no electricity. The water was scarce and all kind of stuff. We couldn't move. You know, I remember that. I think some of our kids, they've been watching television. They've been watching news and they saw the siege that happened at the nation's capital. And they're going to grow up and they're going to remember that. And they're going to be able to tell their children, man, I remember when them folks stormed the capital and they took it over. I was like 10 years old when that happened. I remember that. Our kids are going to look back. And when they look back at this time, what will they say that our fathers did? What would they say that our fathers did during this time? We have an opportunity to build a legacy that our children would be able to look back on and tell, what do these stones mean? Somebody asked the question, what do these stones mean? And our children would be able to look back at the legacy that we leave and say, this is what those stones mean. Our children, they will have a story to tell about what these stones mean. All because of what the fathers do now. What we do today, fathers, will give our children something to say and give our children's children something to say. What do these stones mean? And they'll be able to tell the story about what these stones mean. Father, you may ask, well, what should I do? Well, we've already been given some instructions. We've already been given some instructions on what we should do. And that is, we need to stand shoulder to shoulder with God during this time. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder with him and follow the instructions that he gives us. Remember, God told Joshua to choose 12, one from each tribe of the nation of Israel, and have them to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, this is my instructions for those 12, to walk up to the Jordan. And once they step their foot into the water, he said, stop right there. That's what he told them. He said, as soon as they step one foot in, remember last week, the subtitle of our message last week, it's just step in. We don't have to dive in head first. We don't have to just jump all the way in the water. God told those 12, he said, just put a foot in the water. Just step in. And once you step in, you're going to see something happen. You're going to see my spirit. You know, the song says, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, Lord. The spirit of the God, the spirit of God, our Father, showed up that day. They were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the actual presence of God. When God's spirit is there, his presence is there. And so what we need is we need to stand shoulder to shoulder with God and follow the instructions that he's given us. Well, what are the instructions that he's given us? He's telling us men that we need to be stronger. We need to take a stronger leadership role in our families and in our churches. He's telling us that we need to stay healthy. You know, I started this workout this past week. My wife was laughing at me. I started this workout this past week, and I was thinking about when I used to do kickboxing when I lived back in Des Moines. I did kickboxing for a couple of years, and when I first started off, they started us off with different warm up workouts, and those warm up workouts we would do. I think we started off with like 25, I believe. We started off with 25. We would all sit on the floor in a circle, and the people that was on my group, and we would sit on the floor in a circle, and we would do 25 push-ups. And then right after doing 25 push-ups, we would do 25 sit-ups. And after doing 25 sit-ups, we would do 25 crunches on the right side. Then we would do 25 crunches on the left side. And then we would do 25 crunches to the center. And that was our warm-up, okay? That was the warm-up. And that killed me, But the progress and the improvement that I saw from doing that was incredible, incredible. That was during my after children adult lifetime.
Oh, you don't have a.
During my after children lifetime, that was probably the best shape that I had ever been in.
I'm thinking that you have got the automatic way.
Cal, what you doing? So here's something. So I was thinking about that, and I was like, man, I'm going to start back doing that again, you know, working out. Then I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't even do 25 push-ups. I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're going to kill me with this. And so I was like, I said, I know what I'm going to do. I was like, I know what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do, y'all. I said, I'm going to start with just 10. Okay. I'm going to do 10 sit-ups, 10 push-ups, 10 crunches. And then I was like, oh my gosh, bro, I'm so out of shape. That even hurt. That hurt bad. So I came up with my own workout plan, y'all. I came up with my own workout plan. I'm going to sell it. All right. But I'm going to give it to y'all free today. Okay. This is what I did. I set a reminder on my telephone on the hour, every hour on the hour, the top of the hour all day long. And what that reminder, every time I got that reminder, I did 10 push-ups. Okay. So starting off like 9 o'clock in the morning, going all the way to 9 o'clock at night. I did 10 push-ups every hour. I might've missed 1 or 2 hours in there because I was doing something, whatever I don't know. Anyway, but my phone reminded me every hour on the hour. I saw the reminder. It came up on my laptop when I was working, and I would stop working, get down and do 10 push-ups. I'm alive, Marguerite. She saw me.
I almost videotaped them, but I couldn't get to it quick enough.
All right, but check this out. 10 push-ups on the hour, every hour. So by the end of the day, I did over 100 push-ups in one day. Over 100 push-ups. Then the next day, I added sit-ups in there. I started doing sit-ups. So I was doing 10 sit-ups and 10 push-ups on the hour, every hour. And bro, I tell you what, by the fourth day, I was doing some sit-ups, right? And when I was doing sit-ups, I crossed my arms like this when I'm doing sit-ups, and when I sit up, right? And as I was doing sit-ups, I could feel my chest. And I was like, oh man, my chest getting hard. My chest getting hard, man. I could feel some improvements already in my chest. Man, this thing is happening. It's working. It's working good. My point is this. We need to stay healthy. We need to stay healthy. And I'm guilty of not taking care of myself like I need to. And God is telling us, look, y'all need to stay healthy. Because when you go through times, and you, especially when you're going through hard times, if you're not healthy, how are you going to take care of your family? If you're not healthy, how are you going to be the leader that I've called you to be? If you're not healthy, how are you going to get past this? In during this pandemic time, if we're not healthy and we mess around and catch COVID, man, it could do some real serious damage to us. And God is telling us, man, you got to stay healthy. But not only just to get you through some hard times, because guess what? At some point, this stuff is going to be past us, and it's going to be time to have some good times. It's going to be time to party. It's going to be time to go back on vacations like we used to doing and stuff. And we need to be healthy so we can enjoy those good times that's going to come after these hard times begin to go away. Amen? Amen. So that's one thing. He told us to reduce our debt. I'm not going to go into all these things, these instructions in depth like I just did workout, but I just wanted to share y'all my testimony about my workout, 1 week workout progress already. But he told us, man, to reduce our debt. Get our provisions ready. This is a part of getting our provisions ready, is to reduce our debt. We need to reduce our outgoing money so that we can increase our incoming money. You know, you got income and you got outcome. And we need to reduce the outgoing money so that we can reduce or increase the incoming money, because we're going to need that money, because we don't know what is still yet to come. When this past week hit us, man, so many people was running to the grocery store trying to get some food, go to the grocery store and there wasn't no food on the shelves. People was trying to get some water, couldn't get no water. You know, it's like, man, and if you ain't got no money, what good is it going to do you to go to the grocery store in the first place? None. Get saved, start reducing debt. Last two things is build your arsenal. We got to protect our families. It's getting crazy out here in these streets, y'all. It's getting crazy out here in the streets. So we have to build an arsenal to protect our families. Whatever you got to do, put some alarms, some cameras around your house, whatever, you know, get some stun guns, whatever, plant them everywhere. Whatever you got to do, protect your family, amen? There's nothing wrong with protecting your family. Believe me, them strong men that was a part of the nation of Israel, they were armed and strong and have arsenal. I told y'all this a few weeks ago. One of the nations in this world that has one of the greatest arsenals that is a lot of times underestimated, meaning the average person don't really know or pay attention to this, but the nation of Israel has one of the strongest arsenals and defense systems. They have one of the strongest arsenals and defense systems in this world. They are surrounded on every side by their enemies. And all those enemies that are surrounded by them, They do not even try to invade this country and take it over because they know that Israel got something strong. Israel got something tough. Israel got an arsenal. Israel got a defense system. This is a defense system, but Israel also got God. And when people know, when our enemies know we got God, when our enemies know that we're standing shoulder to shoulder with God, they will think twice about messing with us. When the Spirit of God is surrounding us and our families and our homes, our vehicles, the enemy, and when I talk about the enemy, I'm not talking about these people out here, physical people, I'm talking about the spiritual realm. The enemy knows. God will put a hedge of protection around you and the enemy can't touch it. Build your arsenal. Your arsenal might be more prayer. Your arsenal might be more fasting. Your arsenal might be more worship, personal worship. Build your arsenal. And the last thing is this, get involved in local politics because they're the ones who are making decisions in our lives. So men, I ask you today, what type of a legacy do you want to build and leave for your children? What story do you want to leave for them? What when you're gone, when you're dead and gone, what is it that they can find inspiration and encouragement from? Men, it's time for us to stand up. We got to stand up and we have to take more of a leadership role in our families and in the church. We need to get our provisions ready. Amen. Amen. Joshua told those 12, go get 12 stones and we're going to build a memorial. And in the future, your children, they will ask, what do these stones mean? I want my children to look back one day and be able to tell the story about the stones that I built.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee, 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast on Facebook and YouTube next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.